Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
In the name of Jesus, Karabade, Lefropedia, Zelenatoriama, Ebrekadolisa, Baliketukuzia, Releketola, Reba Fashatia Yadaka, Rema Lekaduzia, Baligadumeselia Dakala, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Malikadalia Gazia. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, last week, during the Greater Water, about how to engage and deal with negative family patterns. Now, I want to know, this is a part two. So, but I want you to, because I want you to listen to me, and we are live on, you know, Zoom and Facebook, Mixler and Zoom. So, please, I want you to listen to me, because I feel very strongly in my spirit that there are still one or two issues that have not been fully addressed. So I want you to listen to me. I want you to give attention. Because I have an assurance in my spirit that as we listen to the word tonight, there are some of you, you will have encounters. As you are listening to me, just open your heart. Open your heart to me. As this word is coming forth, you are going to have encounters. You will experience something in your body. And that will be the hand of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now, in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 2. And please, I want you to try and write these scriptures down. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 2. The scripture says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the causeless shall not come. Hallelujah. The causeless shall not stand. It shall not come. That is to say to you here, the Spirit of God is trying to tell us here, that many times the things that we pray about, and it seems that there is a resistance, it is because that the enemy has found a reason. There's a principle that has given the enemy permission to be there. Please, I want you to hear me. This thing I'm sharing with you has nothing to do with whether you're a pastor or not. This thing I'm sharing with you has nothing to do with when maybe your parents are pastors. Okay? I have seen people who relapse in their deliverance. They were free, but they relapsed. Because if you don't understand the conditions that was met before your deliverance was established, and you go back and you begin to do other things, you can relapse. For instance, our Lord Jesus taught us, and he said, that when a demon is cast out of a man, and that man, that place is vacant, that demon, after wandering about, which means that demons are primarily wandering spirits. If they don't have a reason to stay in your life, they will not be there. I wish somebody is hearing me now. If there is no reason for an evil spirit, because evil spirits are disembodied, they are not legally permitted to be here, but they find themselves here. So they need a body, a fleshly body, to be able to express themselves. They can enter into animals, they can enter into people, but they prefer people, because people, human beings, give them the ability to express themselves in very unique ways, you know, that they cannot do with animals. So it's possible for that dog you have in your compound to be mad and to be filled with the spirit. And you just wonder why the dog is acting crazy. It's possible for you to have a neighbor who has animals and they just act crazy, like birds, you know. But you may not know. You just wonder why those things are always acting weird or looking like they are possessed. They could actually be possessed, you know. So the scripture says that a causeless shall not stand. That means that just the way a sparrow, because that word, the bird, is like mostly like small animals, small birds, you know, like a sparrow. The way you see the way a sparrow flies, you know, is not really balanced, as though being moved by the wind. And the scripture is saying just the way that sparrow flies, you know, He said, a cause causeless shall not stand. That means if there is a cause, there is a reason why that cause is there. So we should not live in self-denial and begin to think that, oh, you know, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean nothing. It's not there. You know, it doesn't bother you. You are not affected. My brother, if you think that way, please know that you are already affected. So that's the first scripture I want to read to you. Because some people might be wondering, oh, I don't know why I'm having to deal with this kind of thing. You know, some are even in self-denial. They don't believe that anything is wrong. Now, I want you to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8. And please, as I pray, as I'm teaching, I want some of you to be praying in tongues. As I'm speaking to you now, I want some of you to, as you are listening, don't allow what I'm saying to fall on your ears alone. Let it fall on your spirit. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8, the scripture says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whosoever breaketh the edge, the serpent shall bite him. So when you are dealing with patterns, one of the things you need to look at is, has anybody broken any edge? You could be dealing with a situation in your family, but have you bothered to ask, is there any strange thing that somebody brought into this house? Is there something that happened 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and you people just said, oh, sorry about it, sorry, and you just apologized, you know, like the way British people do, they, oh, I'm sorry. But it's not even just about the apology. It's about the idols you have brought into the house. Are you with me now? Somebody might, by an action, by one small action, you bring demons into the house. Demons don't hear, I am sorry. Demons only respect the blood. Demons respect the blood of Jesus. So if somebody has gone out and has done something that was forbidden by God, and then person comes out and says, oh, I'm sorry, it's not just about the apology you are giving to that lady or to that brother. The issue is, we need to check, have you brought any idol into the house? There are guys that had certain things to do with strange women on campus and they never graduated. It's not really about how everybody's doing it. There are people that went too close to a particular brother. The brother had a curse over his life, and they inherited that curse when they began to have intimate relations with those kind of people. So before you think of doing it, you better ask, this guy you are following or you are walking around with, how many demons are in his life? Because you are dealing with serious stuff here. Somebody may have a bright destiny, gets married to the wrong person, and begins to deal with battles and things he has no record. He doesn't have any record of it, but all of a sudden you are having fits of anger. All of a sudden you are not making progress in your office, because by covenant you have been tied to somebody. So the issue of marriage rights is not really, it's a serious matter, okay? It's a serious matter. So a cause causeless shall not stand. That means everywhere you see something and you are praying against it, and it seems like that thing is not making any effort to get out, you need to begin to look for what has legitimized that particular thing you are battling, that you are dealing with. Now, let me read another scripture to you. In Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 24 to 26. The scripture says that this is the word of prophecy and promise that I'm bringing to you from the word of God. Look at this. It says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Or shall the lawful captive be delivered? This is a question the Lord is asking. So God is saying, peradventure you find yourself in that situation tonight, where things were done in your family. Your family offered sacrifices to idols. Your family, they were always patronizing witch doctors, herbalists, all kind of people. And they even gave you some of those things, and you took them innocently without knowing. So you became a lawful captive. The moment you take something from the enemy, you have become a member. They don't need to give you membership form. You don't need your passport photograph. The moment they give it to you and you take out of it, or you say, it doesn't matter, it's God that answers prayer. Because that's one of the problems people from the Yoruba race find themselves in. And I don't know how it is with other cultures, but I've observed this one with Yoruba people. They have this thing about, oh, once it is God, once I did, I didn't kill anybody. It's just solution. I'm just looking for a solution to my problem. You know, your motive does not exonerate you from the influence of the spirit you have benefited from. Okay, so it doesn't exonerate you. If you went to the devil to take it, it doesn't exonerate you. You are under the influence. You have submitted your head to the enemy. It's as simple as that. Okay, so God is saying that, look, is it possible for a lawful captive to? Verse 25. Say, but thus saith the Lord. And I am so excited. Every time I see thus saith the Lord, it means this is heaven's verdict. It means this is heaven's perspective. He said, thus saith the Lord. Even the captives. As I'm reading scripture, I want some of you to be praying in tongues. Because some of you have gotten to a point, you know within yourself there is nothing you are going to do again. But as I'm reading this prophecy, I want you to begin to shout in tongues. It says, even the captives of the mighty, those that wake up in the morning and know that they are stuck. He said, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with them that contend with thee, and I will save your children. So God is not just going to set you free. It's come on, somebody say amen. God is not just going to set you free. He's going to bring your children out. Right from the oldest to the youngest. He's going to bring your children out. He's going to set them free. That thing will not be in their bloodline anymore. Oh, that sickness is not going to be. They are not going to inherit it. They're not going to inherit that backwardness from their parents. They're not going to inherit that sickness from their parents. They're not going to inherit stuff that they can't play. God said, he will set you free and he will do the same to your children. Listen to me. Many of our children don't even know what they are dealing with. They just sit there and they are browsing and chatting away. But you, the father, you know, you, the mother, you know what you are talking about here. You have seen this thing in your family life. There are families that no matter how well they do, at some point things will begin to come down. The things will begin to come down. They won't be able to, if the man is a contractor, he will not get jobs again. It will just look like he doesn't even know what he's doing. All of a sudden, he's alone by himself, no friends, no nothing. He begins to fall sick. The Lord said, I will contend. That means when we initiate this process, God goes ahead of us to contend for us. He said, I will contend with them that contend with you, and I will save your children. The goal of every curse and every negative pattern is not even you, it's your children. Because the devil is always glorified every time a curse passes down to the next generation. That means he has customers. He said in verse 26, I will feed them that oppress you with their own flesh. I will feed them that oppress you with their own flesh. I will feed them that oppress you with your own flesh. Those that are oppressing your children and they are not able to sleep at night. Those things going on in your family that is giving you sleepless night. God says tonight, I'm going to feed them with their own flesh. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to bring you out. And the next time they call your name in the spirit realm, it is their own children's face that will suffer. Now, I wish I could just get two people tonight who are angry and are saying enough is enough. God said, I will feed them and that oppress them with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. Hallelujah. He said, as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know. God will use you as an example to speak to men and women that it is the Lord. The Lord your Savior and your Redeemer and the mighty one of Jacob. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. For those who have been held by mighty men, for those of you that are held by spirits, principalities and powers, and you are listening now and the sound of my voice, you can hear my voice. You can. Now in the name of Jesus Christ, I release the power of God. For his word is mighty to save and mighty to deliver. I invoke the blood of Jesus wherever you are hearing me now. I delete your name from every satanic register. I delete your name from every register of backwardness. I delete your name from every register of sickness and disease and infirmity. I delete your name from every register of poverty. I delete your name from every situation that you have found yourself. found themselves. You belong to a family where people are not making progress. Now I delete the name of that family from that evil register. Now, in the name of Jesus, I command the heavens to open over you as Sikabalu Teperianka. I command the heavens to open over you in the name of Jesus, and you are coming into a place of freedom. Every one of your family members, no one will be left behind. No one will be left behind. When Pharaoh said to Moses, you can go, but leave your children. Moses said, we will not leave one person. Moses said, we will not leave anybody. We are all going, and we are going to serve the Lord. Now, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy over every family represented here tonight. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy as I'm commanded, let the doors of freedom open to you. Let the doors of freedom open to your family. Let it open to your family. Let your father begin to recover. Let your mother begin to recover. Let your brother begin to find new opportunity. Let your sister begin to find. I command that desert land that the enemy has placed that family in spiritually to be converted now to a fruitful ground. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, declare my family is free. Come on, declare the curse is broken. I want you to declare it with faith in your heart. My family is free. We are free completely. Everyone, mention the names of your siblings and begin to prophesy and say, we are free. We are coming out. The curse is broken. You are not carrying that thing to the next generation. In the name of Jesus, there are many of you who are free, but you are too quiet. Listen to me. A quiet mouth is a closed destiny. You don't open your mouth and talk. I declare every member of your family is free. I declare they are free. They will not carry that cause to the next generation. Lisa Kara, Merutaba, Yetreso Kotolia, Dia Kateba. In the name of Jesus, we command the fire of God to begin to burn. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let me talk to you briefly. How these things we call or we refer to as negative family patterns, how do these things come to be? Number one, negative patterns are usually founded on agreements with the enemy that a party later in the future fails to honor. It now grows over time and it becomes a curse. So maybe your parents had some form of agreement. They went to, and some of us, our parents, they don't go to Abadis, but they go to all these esoteric white garment guys, you know. And please, some of you may not understand why I'm talking about. I don't have anything against them. But listen to me. I have attended some of these places before. I say it with due respect to everybody that is here. I've seen this thing before. Somebody was dying, okay? And I'm not saying there are no good people in these places, but just understand what I'm saying. I'm telling you what, you know, we know. I don't have anything against them, okay? These are people, many of them genuinely love the Lord, but I mean, you know, what you see is what you see, okay? There have been cases where somebody was dying on the floor. He was dead, dying. And a prophet came out and spoke some words into the air, cut down a complete plantain, you know, tree from the stump, and buried it and said, this man that is sick is the man we are burying here. And the moment you bury this, what do you call that thing? That plantain stump, this man will recover. Exactly that was what happened. I'm talking about serious stuff here, serious wet stuff. You almost get the chills when you see some of these things. Like, these are really weird stuff. Oh my God. I don't want to make this thing look personal, but really, it's just what it is. Some of your parents went to some of these places, they gave them incisions, and some of them marked their head. Some of you can remember that they took you somewhere and they put incisions on your head. And now you are dealing with stuff, you have graduated from school. You can't even lay, you know, get your hands on a good job, and you are not even thinking that peradventure some of it's payback time. When they were cutting those incisions on your head, maybe this is payback time. But you know, people won't remember that this stuff is really happening. So people have agreements, and then the devil will always come back to take what is his. And after your parents are dead, the devil says, okay, we still have some balance to collect. And then they come to the child. So the child does, all of a sudden, starts falling sick. That the doctor is giving a weird report. I've been in the same room with a particular person. They did a medical test, and the doctor said, it's ulcer. They started treating ulcer. Oh, this person is not recovering. They took the person back. The doctor says tuberculosis. Same hospital, same test. They took the person back again. Oh, the doctor says, oh, no, the person has done abortion before. Something is going wrong. Every time that person was taken to the hospital, the doctor saw something different. Eventually, they saw cancer. Eventually, the lady died. I'm telling you, I was there, live in Lagos, somewhere in Ebeda. So we are talking serious stuff here. But if you know your parents have done certain things, and you bury your head like the proverbial ostrich, you are not eliminating yourself, because now you're going to get married and you start spreading the thing again. So please understand me. I have stuff I'm dealing with in my own bloodline. So it's not really about somebody just trying to be smart here. I'm talking about stuff that I'm dealing with. I mean, like stuff going on in my life and all. So it's not, I'm not really here for those, I'm not really here for the self-righteous people. So you need to, when you begin to pray, you feel that resistance, because somebody somewhere, your grandparents have gone somewhere and they have done stuff. They have done stuff nobody knew about. They got pregnant with you, took you to one or somebody somewhere who gave them water to drink, and then you think you are not a registered member. Number two, how do family patterns come to be? Agreements that were signed off in blood. And I'm not talking about stuff I don't know. They say, go and bring a goat, or go and bring a black goat with a red eye, and or a white goat with red beards. And then they slaughter that particular animal as a representation for you to be free. Okay? So you need to identify that thing, because that's how patterns start. Somebody is already owing. The moment the devil goes that takes that route with you, you are already owing, and it will come. Check, you will not be ready. Number three, negative patterns can evolve and develop when careless words are spoken. And it can affect the family. If I was the one that did it, let my generation not prosper. Hey, this one, if I know anything about that, and again, are guilty as hell when we talk about this thing. So somebody has taken something that doesn't belong to you, and you are asking him, did you do it? He removes his shoes and says, I'm standing on the ground, I'll be buried. If I knew anything about this thing, let my children's generation and their generation, let it not be good for them. Why don't you put your own name there? Why don't you put your own name there? Why only say, let it not be well for my children and their children's children? It's because you know you'll be dead by then. Wicked souls. You understand what I'm saying? So the people speak words. When you ask the guy later, I say, I have to say it to those guys really wanted to tear my clothes off. You look at the things you are saying. Careless words. Careless words. Then your children grow up and they are wondering why they are dealing with stuff. I mean, like, people are waking up to go for interviews. They sleep the night before. They are perfectly okay. They wake up the next day. They become very sick. They can't explain it. They've stolen something. Their forefathers have stolen something and swore on the life of his children. There's a particular one that really bugs me, you know. A negative pattern can be set off by a prophet. I don't know if you've heard that one before. A negative pattern can be set off by a prophet or a man of God. in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26. After Joshua destroyed Jericho, let me read it to you. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath. Cursed before the Lord is the one that undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn, he will lay the foundation. And at the cost of his youngest child, he will set up the gates. Can you see this one? Joshua obeyed God. And in order to ensure that nobody came back to set up what he has already destroyed, he placed a curse on that ground. And later, Jesus will pass through that same Jericho. I don't know if somebody is listening to me now. This is a very weird one because it involves men of God. This man of God cursed that city. He was trying to prevent something from happening again. So he placed a curse there. Did you see how powerful your words are? When some of you, like it looks like a slang. Somebody told you just say, hey, madu. Somebody, you are. it may look like a joke, but you got to think about it. Maybe you are already saying something. You are saying something. I don't really know what that means. I don't know the relevance of being mad to whatever we are talking about. But this like was on board. Words are powerful. Now look at this Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26. Now I want you to look at First Kings chapter 16 verse 34. I'm sorry, I can make this message very spiritual, but I need to speak because this is a millennial generation, and some of us don't really know how this is. You are just preaching the weird stuff. What I'm saying is that when you say madu, you could be setting up something. For those of you in that category, so you got to stop. The problem with a negative confession is that the amount of positive words you now need to speak to cancel it. Because a negative word is very strong. It's like, when you want to destroy someone's life, it doesn't take time. But when you want to build, when you want to go to school, when you want to graduate, 4 years, 5 years, as you strike, it takes time. But to destroy, 1 second, it's the same thing when you say mado, it doesn't take time. You see the result. Then when they come to pastor say, I'm seeing some things. The guy cannot remember. He has spent the last 6 months. Look at 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 34. Somebody came and later tried to rebuild Jericho. 1 Kings chapter 16 verse 34. In Ahab's time, Hiel of Bethel rebuilt Jericho, but he laid the foundations at the cost of his firstborn. This was many years after. Abiram. And he set up the gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segui, in accordance with the word of the Lord spoken by Joshua, the son of Nun. Look at the time Joshua spoke that word. Everybody has forgotten. Everybody who heard that word was dead. There was nobody alive that was in that 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34, who was also at that event when Joshua proclaimed this. So this was hundreds of years later. Meanwhile, the word was still active in the atmosphere. Do you see what I'm saying now? This is a word spoken by a prophet. And that word began to terrorize an entire city. The brother who went out there and said, we're going to do it. We're going to make it a dream city. We're going to make this city a city where everybody wants to come. It's going to be the best city in Africa. Look at the price he had to pay. So don't just start. Some of you are building houses, you are buying land, and you are doing it carelessly because you saw the land on the internet. As you go there, try to feel the vibration in that place. Try to find out what is going on. Maybe blood has been shed there. It's serious stuff, man. Okay? So I've just given you 4 ways a pattern could be set up. On that careless words, let me tell you something. I was talking about careless words. You are in a relationship with a lady and you promise her, I will marry you. Death will not do us. Only death will separate us. If my mother likes, she should say what she likes. I'm going to marry you. Nobody can tell me who to marry, who not to marry. You are speaking grammar. And the lady became comfortable with you. And yes, after that, God is not saying the same thing again. You left her. The Bible says everywhere you see a curse, according to the book of Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 2, he said a curse. Check, there's a reason for that thing to be there. Go and instead, before you start praying, go and investigate. Hallelujah. So these people are this careless talking, you know, it's like everywhere. It's like everywhere. People are exaggerating, people are saying stuff. You know. So by the time you begin to pray, you wonder why things are not really working. Okay, so How do we engage with these patterns? Now that you have identified some of the patterns, some of you noted that it's a particular sickness. Particular sickness. Young person, 35, cancer. What are you doing with cancer? What are you doing with cancer? That's the hand of the enemy. Maybe your parent has it, one of your parents has it, or say sibling has it, or maybe people have even died. You know? And let me just take a minute to prophesy. If there's anybody with cancer in your family, right now I prophesy in the name of Jesus, the name by which all knees shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you have cancer in your bloodline, in the name of Jesus, that thing is wiped off. In the name of Jesus Christ, that thing is wiped off. Lika zilekatoria, rebataka, silekoro, rebatase, lebrante, eshikala. If there's anyone in your family with cataracts, now in the name of Jesus, I wipe off that thing from your bloodline. In the name of Jesus, diabetes now go in the name of Jesus Christ from your bloodline. You will not just be healed. It will be taken out of your bloodline. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, say, I receive it. Come on, say, I receive it. Declare it. I receive it. I receive my deliverance. I receive it for myself. I receive it for my spouse. I receive it for my children. I receive it for my children's children. This thing will not reenact itself in the future. It's gone forever. It's gone forever. It's gone forever. In the name of Jesus. I receive it. I receive it. And it's gone forever. Freedom. Freedom. We are in the season of freedom. Hallelujah. Now, how do you engage with these patterns? Now, you've been able to identify a few things. You've been able to observe. You know, how do we engage with this thing? Now, and I have about maybe 9 points here. 9 points. Is the first thing I just said. You have to identify the patterns. Your pattern might be different from somebody else who may be your friend or your neighbor. You have to identify the pattern. Now, the pattern here means that you have to look at what is this thing that is reoccurring in the family? Okay, maybe in the whole family, people, no matter how much they go to school, they don't get jobs. They end up, you know, getting menial jobs. And you have a degree, you have an HND, you have a master's, or they start telling you that, oh, you are overqualified. And there are one, two people, three people like that in your family. Then that's a pattern. You also have another pattern like, oh, people are not able to go to school here. They speak English, they speak well, they look nice, but they don't have a degree. Okay, so that's a pattern. So you have to be able to identify that. And I usually recommend that when you study this, you try to write them down so that you can have a robust picture. So the first thing you have to do to... And let me tell you, there's power in identification, because once you identify the bacteria that is causing a particular ailment in the body, you are able to, you know, get the treatment out. You know, there was a time a few years ago, like maybe 5 or 6 years ago, my temperature just jumped suddenly to about 39 degrees or 40 degrees. I was preparing to go and preach in a meeting, but my temperature just spiked. And I thought it was malaria, you know. But we got to the hospital. I said, let me just get to the hospital before going to preach. And they said, oh, we have to run a test. I said, you can't run a test. I need to, you know, go and preach. They wouldn't let me go. They ran the test and they realized it was not malaria. It was an infection somewhere else. And they gave me some drugs and I was fine. So don't undo your spiritual condition the way Nigerians undo their health. Everything is malaria. Everything is not malaria. Everything is not malaria. Sometimes you need to sit down carefully, ask your mom to tell you about your family, about our own side of the family. Because sometimes it's not always the dad. It could be the mom's side of the tree. Okay? So try to identify what you are dealing with first. Number two, do not engage this matter in the flesh. Do not engage it in the flesh. What I mean is that don't try to use your human senses to try to, you know, get a solution. Like, oh, this thing, you know, this thing, we need to leave Nigeria. You know, we need to leave Nigeria. All these witches and wizards, they are too much in my city, in my state. Maybe you are from Ondo State, or you are from Delta State. Oh, the witches here, they are too much. We need to get out of here. Changing location does not change anything. Okay, they will just take your file to the witches in that other corner, say it's our customer, take over his file. So it's not by changing location. You need the hand of God to come upon you so you can prosper in the midst of your enemies. Do not engage in the flesh. Don't try to look for a natural way to solve this problem. Don't try to it's even possible to fast in the flesh. You just want to fast, you know, let's just fast. No, calm down. After you have identified, you need to now tell yourself you will not be reactive, you will be proactive. That's the second thing. Number three, do not engage with the situation under pressure or under worry. Now, I was sharing with someone recently, and I said, Charlie warned us that we should not worry. Because worrying is like the way Gentiles, the moment you worry or you begin to worry, you register your name in the book of Gentiles. God said he doesn't want us to behave like the Gentiles behave. And how do they behave? They worry. They worry. So if truly you know God, worrying should not be the solution to the matter. You see, some people will sit down, they tell you, Pastor, I want to see you. Then the pastor says, oh, come around. Or they go to the pastor's office and they start crying. Okay, now that you have chosen to cry, how do we solve this problem? Because the pastor or the person trying to pray for you is also a human being. God responds to faith, not necessarily tears. So crying is not the solution. Okay, and it's okay to cry, you know. But I'm just saying, don't overdo it. Don't try to react to crying. And the same Satan has buried you. Satan in my life. Satan already knows he has you in a tight corner. You know what I'm saying? He already knows he has you in a tight corner. Don't act under pressure. I'm going to deal with her. That woman, she's the witch in our family. I'm going to break her head. I know her house. You are acting under pressure. God doesn't operate that way. You know, there was a time that David's family and the families of soldiers were captured away. And David was crying. But when it was time for him to act, he asked the Lord, should I pursue? Will I recover? Will I overtake? Will I recover all? So we need to have that same mindset when dealing with family patterns. Don't just be reactive. Oh, is that my aunt? Since that day that she gave me that thing to drink, I've been having nightmares. Oh, that's not the solution. You're already trying to act under pressure and it will not give the result you are looking for. Actually, you could create more problems for yourself. Number four. Seek for revelation that from the Lord that will shed light on the issue. Now, let me explain what I mean here. One aspect of this point is that God can speak to you in dreams, he can speak to you in visions, but there's a popular one that we neglect. God can make you remember something that must have happened, or something someone in the family must have said when you were much younger, but you didn't remember. But in the process of praying, I call it the prayer of inquiry. As you begin to pray, you know, the Lord will be like, you begin to remember like, oh, there was a time my mom was talking to her sister and something like this was said. And God is part of what we are talking about right now. Okay? We need to pray for revelation that we shed light on what we are actually dealing with. I'm talking about how to engage with these patterns. Because many people just engage in the flesh and you want to do it in your own way. Some even pray in the flesh, and then they will go home and begin to complain, and they are wondering why things are not happening. It is the little things that make a man healthy. Things like working out, things like resting well, you know, things like getting enough sleep. Those are things that make a man healthy, not just, you know, to keep pumping drugs down your throat. Number four, this one is very important. Now, you will remember that when we started this message last week, I read to you from the scripture that the life of the flesh is in the blood. That means that everything that you do in your body has a signature card, a record in the blood. So if your brother does, or your father does something, or your mother does something, because you are part of that bloodline, that there's a record of that thing in your blood. So what that means is that in a way, you are part of that sin. Just the way that Levi, who is the son of one of the sons of Abraham, paid tithe while still in the loins of Abraham. They've not given birth to him. But because Abraham paid tithe, God said, look, it is accounted to Levi that he has also paid tithe. So what that means is that there is a need for repentance. This is a particular point that most people gloss over. And the devil hides in this corner to deal with many believers. Many believers say that because they were not the ones who committed that sin, or went to the herbalist, or committed that abortion, they believe that they have been exonerated. Because that signature card is also in your blood, you must stand as a representative of that family and repent for it. Now, I really don't know if this is making sense to anybody, but repentance is the first law of freedom. Repentance is the first law of freedom. If a man cannot stand before God and say, I am a sinner, he cannot be saved, even though Jesus has already died, even though Jesus has provided a way of escape. If a man cannot humble himself and say, Father, I am sorry, and really, this is how this thing works. So what is the nature of this kind of repentance? So it is like the prayer that Daniel prayed. Father, I confess my sins, and I confess the sins of my bloodline, the sins of my parents, my forefathers. We repent in the name of Jesus of every form of idol worship, of every form of giving honor and giving our finance to establishment of idols. We begin to mention that thing. Father, we confess the sin of abortion that is in our lineage that was committed by our forefathers in the name of Jesus. Father, worshiping idols or serpents, or if you know the name of the idol, you mention the name of that idol and you confess and say, Father, we are guilty. Father, forgive us, forgive this family. Let your blood wash us. This is not something that has to do with your salvation. This thing has to do with your bloodline. And I need to clarify this, because some people are still asking, but Jesus has died for. Did Jesus die for your family, or did he die for you? You need to understand how this thing works. We are talking about something that was done deliberately. If not, you know, the moment Jesus died, we don't need to believe in him. Everybody is automatically saved. But we need to understand how this thing works. We are not talking about the salvation of your soul. We are talking about stuff that happens within the family line, and there is a red mark. There's a mark over that family saying these people are owing, and we need to pay that debt with blood, because many of these things are established by blood. Just that you are not there, they were established by blood. So you need to go to God and say, Father, I repent in the name of Jesus, and you begin to confess those sins. Okay, and then you repent. That is where you can begin to pray well, and your prayer will have meaning. How do I do this? I still have quite a bit. Now, how do we engage with patterns? This is another point. This is like point five now. You must understand the role of cleaning the blood of Jesus. Ha. This one that I've said, now there are people who believe that there's no place for cleaning the blood of Jesus. Well, that's your problem. But I don't think you have ever been tormented before. Okay, so I don't bother arguing with those people. When a child gets to the point where he needs to be afraid, he will know. Okay, so if your parents are pastors and they've prayed all the prayer for you, you may not even understand what we are talking about. I'm telling you that the legal tender in the realm of the spirit for freedom and deliverance is the blood of Jesus. The legal tender. Say, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over. How did they plead it? They had to anoint in those days the doorpost of their house with the blood that represented the blood of atonement. In our case, we don't use physical blood anymore, but you can put it in your mouth. Praise God. The Bible said the blood that speaketh better than the blood of Abel. So the blood is a speaking blood. How does the blood speak on the earth? When believers begin to put it in their mouth and begin to speak it. He said this blood is better than it speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So even though the blood is legal in the heavens, then you give legality to it as you begin to speak it forth. And you begin to invoke it. You invoke the blood of Jesus. You invoke the blood of Jesus over your family. You invoke the blood of Jesus over that situation. And you cancel it out. And you ask, you place a demand in the court of heaven that the blood of Jesus should wipe out every record. And wipe out everything from your family line. And wipe out that curse. And destroy that sickness. And destroy that bad fortune. You invoke the blood of Jesus because that is the only legal document by which a man can be saved. This is serious stuff, man. This is serious stuff here. Don't close your eyes and assume everything is okay. Open that mouth and plead. Invoke it like you are compelling the heavens to come to your rescue. You invoke the blood of Jesus. Don't just say it like you are talking to your boyfriend. You invoke it. You invoke it with anger in your spirit. Because your family has to be. Your children shouldn't go through that stuff. Your husband shouldn't go through that stuff. You invoke that thing and let the power of God take over. Invoke the blood of Jesus. Then we come to the fasting and prayers. Lika barika dosia. Our Lord just said to us in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. He said, this kind. How you will know that it is this kind is because you have prayed and you didn't get results. Once you pray, you didn't get results. I say this kind. When you pray, because the disciples were praying before Jesus came down from the mountain and they didn't get any result. But when Jesus came back, because people think that Jesus only fasted when he went to the wilderness for 40 days. He's the one we recorded in the Bible that you know. But for him to make that statement, that means he was still living a fasted life. Say this kind, when you are dealing with stuff you don't know, don't worry about your beauty now. Because the reason why some women can't fast is because they are concerned about their beauty. Don't worry. Let's get this result first. You will eat and then you will look fine again. But let's fast and pray. Let's fast and pray. And please don't start this whole 6 to 12 p.m. thing. We are not talking about 6 to 12 p.m. We are talking about the sacrifice of fasting and prayer. That means that for that thing to be waiting, there must be an element of sacrifice to it. Please don't do 6 to 12, 6 to 1. Don't come up with that lie that you have answer. Because these are the things I hear. You understand what I'm saying? We are going to be fasting in December. When now? I think from the 6th, and we are going to end on the 19th, okay, with a worship meeting. So please, wherever you are, try to join. We are fasting into the new year, because this new year there's going to be full recovery. Praise God. There's going to be full recovery. Hallelujah. So the key of fasting and prayer, very important. Let me leave you with another dangerous one. This is the 8th point. Why you are fasting and praying? While you are invoking the blood of Jesus and you are following these other principles, get two or three of your friends who understand warfare. Come together into corporate prayer. Whether you are together, you have Zoom, you have WhatsApp, bring yourself together at a certain time, maybe once a week or twice a week, and begin to fire prayers together. I didn't say pray, I say fire prayers. Begin to fire prayers. The problem many of us have is that we are fighting our battles alone. The Bible says one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. So can you imagine the capacity of two people with understanding when they come together to pray? My time is up, but I don't know. I hope somebody's getting blessed. Just give me 5 minutes, okay? Give me 5 minutes. Let me just address this issue, because people are lazy. Listen to me. You may come back from work and you could be tired. But if you have promised your friend that, let's meet by 11 p.m., let's pray, you have to show up. So there is power in accountability. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's power in accountability. There's power in accountability. Don't fight your battles alone. Find two or three of your friends. So if one chases 1,000 and two chases 10,000, that means three will chase nothing less than 30,000. Nothing less. You can put 30,000 demons to flight just by coming into agreement with your friends and oh my God. I wish somebody just heard that one. Accountability. So, and it's not only you, it happens to pastors, it happens to sometimes you want to pray, you wake up, you can't even get up. But if you have made a decision with your friend or with your prayer partner, look, we are going to pray this thing through, we are going to fight this thing, we are going to deal with it. You deal with it, you have to show up. You have to show up for the event. People are going through stuff. Sincerely speaking, you may not know what people are going through, maybe because you don't have any serious problem. But as a pastor, I listen to people. People are dealing with serious stuff. People sit in their palace, they are hearing footsteps, they are seeing the door open, and they can't see anybody there. They are hearing footsteps in the house. So we are talking serious stuff here. I'm not talking about you know, maybe your pastor, your father is a pastor, he has finished all the demons for you. But I mean, I'm talking about people who need this one now. Enter into corporate prayer. That's what I'm talking about. Number 9, before you go into the prayers, find scriptural background for your freedom. Find a scriptural background for your freedom. Don't forget that our Lord Jesus said to us, "It is the word that I speak to you, that are spirit and life. What the devil fears is not what you say, it is the word of God in your mouth." I don't know if you heard that one, just type something. I say, what the devil fears is the word of God in your mouth. Find a scriptural background. Find two or three scriptures to establish your request before God. So you'll be using those scriptures to fire prayers. I don't know if I'm helping anybody tonight, because some of you have been praying, but you are not getting results. Some of you even start praying, then you start flipping your Bible, looking for any random scripture. Don't do that. It won't work. Don't do that. Prepare to go into the place of prayer. Prepare to go into the place of prayer. Find 2, 3, 4, 5 scriptures to establish that which you are looking for. Oh my God, my time is up. Can I just get 5 minutes to finish this? 5 or 10 minutes. I need to kill this demon and just get it out of me. Because since last week, my heart has not rested. I still feel we've not dealt with this thing completely. Because what I'm telling you now is how you can handle this thing yourself. How you can handle it yourself so that you cut off a lot of these errors. Then you have a pastor, you have a prayer partner, you complete everything. Some pastors prefer for you to be calling them so that they'll feel important. I mean, if I can put this stuff in your hands and you are able to, do this on your own, why not? Why not? So let's just empower ourselves and move on. Oh my God. Now, let me talk to you very briefly about why many people are never free. Number one, they cover their sins and their iniquities. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever confesses it and asks for mercy, whosoever confesses and forsakes it shall find mercy. Many are never really free because they cover their sin. Some people are still smoking and they are asking, where is it in the Bible? I'm talking to those people. Some people get drunk and say, Jimmy's in my house, I was drinking, I got drunk. If you are a lover of sugar, you eat sugar with reckless abandon, you are in the same category with somebody who takes Gouda. Because you are both abusing it. You understand what I'm saying? All sugar lovers and smokers, they are in the same category because you are doing some damage to your body. And the scripture tells us very clearly, the Holy Spirit taught us through Paul. He said your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you have to watch what you are putting inside that body. Just because it's sugar, don't mean you have any right to kill that body. Some people are sugar addicts and they are pointing at people who smoke. So who is accusing who? In the authority, it shall not prosper. If the Lord has told you something, that this thing, stop going to this person's house. Every time you go there, you come back and your flesh is very wild. You want to commit sin. He that covereth his sin will not prosper, no matter the prayers. Number 2, some believers do not take their time to develop sustainable faith that can carry them through, you know, in their prayers as they pray for that breakthrough. So they believe. But if after praying for a week or two, you have not seen any particular improvement, they get frustrated, they stop praying. Just look at Daniel. And I love the story of Daniel. Daniel prayed for 21 days before the angel was able to break through and come down. Question: if Daniel was a 7 days man, and many of us are not half as anointed as Daniel, but so imagine that Daniel stopped praying on the 7th day and said, "We in Jesus' name I pray. God has done it." The only way you know you should stop praying is when God has given you a victory note in your spirit. You just know that God has done it, and it gives it to you. If you get it, you know in your heart that God has spoken. You can't deny that feeling in your spirit. It's going to be there. Okay, it's going to be there. So people don't have sustainable faith. And if you don't have sustainable faith which you get by feeding on revelation knowledge and the word of God, your breakthrough may never really be complete. You may find it, you know, it comes and then sometimes it begins to relapse. Number three, a lot of people don't even have faith at all. When they ask Jesus, say, "Why is it that we could not cast out the evil spirit from this man?" He said, "Because of your unbelief." People are shouting. Many people who shout most in church are the ones without faith. Yeah, let us pray. Father, in the name of God, they will shout, shout, shout. Shouting does not replace the place of having faith. In fact, I say this with due respect. When I was growing up in my former place, before I moved to Lagos, I had a lot of shouting people. Shouting people. When they pray, they shout. You hear their voice across the street. That, oh, so woman has woken up. She's the one that shouts like that. But she still tells you that God is not answering her. So you cannot use shouting to replace faith. And you get faith by feeding on the word of God. Number four. This one is very serious. Why many are never truly free? You know, I shared a story with you about how I went to the hospital and I tried to smile and they diagnosed something else. You know, wrong diagnosis of the situation. Wrong diagnosis of the problem. Somebody is being bothered and disturbed by spirit of poverty, and he thinks it is a Buhari's economic policy that is affecting him. It's wrong diagnosis. People just feel, "Oh, the reason why I'm not having it is because I live in Lagos. If I travel out, things will be okay." Who told you that? Who told you that is everybody that is in London and Switzerland? Where is that place? Where is the Queen's? You know, look, let me tell you, open heavens here will be open heavens there. If your heavens are closed here and you rush there to Canada, or where was that place I was going then? Australia, Sydney, Australia. You are going to Sydney because you like the spelling of that name, Sydney. It's not going to change nothing. We need New Jersey. We need to go to New Jersey. Somebody was asking me to come at Stanford. It's not going to change nothing. If the heavens are closed here, it's going to be closed there. So we need to look at the real problem. Is this situation in your life because of a spiritual factor? You need to diagnose the problem. You know? You need to diagnose the problem. And I'm not joking. I mean, we're talking about serious stuff here. Parents who were part of a party or a team of people who buried a pregnant woman alive many years ago. Now the children are paying for it. Everybody who did it is dead. So what do you do? You can get a PhD, don't mean nothing. If we don't dig out that thing and make atonement for it. Wrong diagnosis of the problem is, for me, one of the reasons, major reasons why many people are never free. People live in self-denial on the thing until the thing gets too bad to fix. Number five, this is also a very serious one. In fact, I have to go back to the Bible and get scriptures for this one. The Lord said many are never truly free because even after they pray, they murmur and they complain. The Lord said they murmur and they complain after they have prayed. They will pray for 3 hours. They went 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. in the night. and they wake up and from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. complain about why the husband is acting weird, is acting crazy, why your boss is acting weird and crazy. You are the problem. The Lord said, and look at the scripture. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, the word of the Lord says, do all things, including prayer, without murmuring and disputing. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmuring and complaining and disputing and arguing. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 9. Do not keep grudge against one another, brethren, lest he be condemned, and the judge, for behold, the judge standeth at the door. Look at Jude chapter 1 and verse 16. For these are murmurers and complainers, walking after their own laws. What Jude is telling us is that if you see a complainer and a murmurer, check the lust of the flesh is in their life. The people who murmur and complain are filled with the lust of the flesh. They are filled with the pride of life. Look at Jude chapter 1 and verse 16. He said, these are murmurers, they are complainers, always walking after the lust or after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. He said, neither murmur ye, as some of them have also murmured, and we are destroyed of the destroyer. This was speaking about the children of Israel when they murmured against Moses and the Lord in the wilderness. God says that murmuring has the capacity to destroy a person, even if that person is a believer. This one is very particular. I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. He said, neither murmur ye, don't murmur. Because some people murmured in the past and they were destroyed. Not incapacitated, they were destroyed by the destroyer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you some scriptures and I'll round up here. And then I'll pray with you and I'll round up here. These are some scriptures I try to write down just as a basis for when you go to the place of prayer. You can use these scriptures as a basis to negotiate for your family freedom, for the deliverance of your brother, for the deliverance of your sister. There are so many of them in the scripture. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. These are scriptures I want to give to you now. You can use them to negotiate for your freedom, for your deliverance, for your family. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. And I want you to write it down. He said, now the Lord is that spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Praise God. So you can say, Father, based on this, we invite you into our family. Father, based on this, we invite you into our situation. Let there be liberty. And you begin to pray. You begin to pray. Number two, Psalms chapter 34 and verse 19. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. That's Psalms chapter 34 and verse 19. Number three, Psalms chapter 68 and verse 6. Psalms chapter 68 and verse 6. I will stop here. God sets the solitary in families. He bringeth out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious will dwell in a strange land. So these are scriptures you can use to negotiate for your freedom, for your family. This last scripture, Psalm 68, verse 6, is good for your family. You can use it for your family. That God will set the solitary in family. He will bring out those that are bound with chains. You begin to use this scripture. Father, my brother is bound in chains. My sister, those who are not married, you begin to pray. Begin to pray. I'm going to break a yoke of marital delay as I close now. So just get ready if you're out there. And it's not only women that have that yoke. Many brothers have it. They don't know. Some brothers think they are waiting for the right time. They don't even know that there's a yoke of delay on their life.